Things are not always what they seem.
And what's that supposed to mean?
Sometimes you have to read between the lines to figure out what's really going on.
It's tough to get any more obvious than that.
Get ready to discuss provocative issues in our community, like spirituality, philosophy, and education, to ethics, crime, and everything in between.
So far, so good.
It's time to open your mind and look at life on a deeper level. Give it some thought and get to the gist of the matter with Dr. Harold V. Bennett.
What's about to be said right here, you need to listen with both ears.
On News and Talk 1380 WAOK. News and Talk 1380, WAOK.
News and Talk Radio 1380, WAOK, the voice of the community. That's right. You've just got to hear the gist of the matter with Dr. Harold Bennett, coming to you live from the city of Atlanta here in the state of Georgia every single Sunday evening from 6 to 8 p.m. That's right, baby. Your boy is back. And we're ready to deal with some controversial issues in our community. And I want you to do what we do. I want you to call somebody, email somebody, text somebody, go outside and scream and yell or do something. And let them know that the gist of the matter with Dr. Bennett is here. And we are going to look at some things that I tell you, and especially tonight. We got a hot topic tonight, and you want to be a part of it. You do not want to miss it. Listen, I want to congratulate Joyce Littell. 35 years of holding it down and making sure we got our emotions and our passions and our love life together. Hey, Joyce, love you. Thank you so much for holding it down for us. I tell you, you are someone special. That's what we do here at WAOK. We family, and we want to keep the community informed. Hey, while you got a minute, this is what I need you to do. Like us on Facebook, 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community. Go right on and like us, 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community. And I also would like for you to like the gist of the matter with Dr. Bennett. Gist spelled with a G, G-I-S-T. With Dr. Harold Bennett. Go there, like those two pages. In fact, join the group so that then, you know, you can send in questions and you can post things and you can interact with us digitally. And I'm telling you, you want to do that because tonight we have a very interesting subject. Oh, by the way, I've got to say this. I am so happy. I want to wish my baby boy a birthday today. He's 22 years old. And I want to say happy birthday, baby boy. And dad is proud of you, and I'm glad of what you're doing. And I want you to keep on doing what you're doing. All right? Great. I had to say that. I spent this afternoon bowling with him a little bit, you know, trying to get my dad thing on. So I said, you know, Bennett, I'm just having the time of my life. All right. Let me tell you what we're going to talk about. I got to tell you. I've been waiting all week to kind of just deal with some issues. You know, this is October. And October is a very special month for several reasons. On the one hand, it's a National Breast Cancer Awareness Month. That's one thing or one issue that warrants our attention, because you all know that that's a very serious disease that just wreaks havoc in our community. And this month is there to raise our consciousness and our awareness of that dreaded disease. And I suggest, and I want to encourage you, wherever you are, if you can find some kind of way to give, to support any kind of activities, any kind of research, to undermine, to do away, to discover, you know, the cause of that dreadful disease, I want you to support that best you can. So this month, October, is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and I want you to definitely be sensitive to that. Here's the second thing. I want to put this out there. And this is what we're going to talk about tonight. October also has been identified or labeled as National Domestic Violence Month, Domestic Violence Awareness Month. That's probably, I'm going to use that term right now. We'll unpack that as we get into the conversation tonight. And that's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about, and I want to bracket this right now because we'll deal with this domestic violence, domestic abuse awareness issue. And we're going to talk about this whole idea of intimate partner violence or domestic violence in the Black community. That's what we're going to talk about tonight. And I am so excited because I have some people who are going to help us work through this thing and get at this whole issue of domestic. And I'm saying this right now because as the conversation unfolds, we'll get a chance to clean up some of the language. I have Dr. Faye Weems Singleton with me, who is a licensed marriage and family therapist. That's probably the best way I can put it. And I'll straighten out a little later, but she is bona fide, got credentials. That's what I like. I like dealing with people that's got credentials. Y'all know how Bro Bennett is. I like that. And I have someone, we have a special guest who's going to be with us all the way from California, and her name is Dr. Rose Parker, and you might have heard about her. We're going to post something there on the gist of the matter on my Facebook page so you can read about Dr. Parker, and she is someone, a firsthand survivor and someone who's had to work through this whole issue of intimate partner violence. She has a story to tell. She has drafted a book. You know, she has a lot of what I would say valuable pieces of information to share. And I want you to get yourself together and whatever your favorite beverage is, whether it's coffee, whether it's water, whether it's juice, what it's a latte, whatever it is. I want you to get yourself together, get your drink and relax. And as we get ready to talk about this issue of intimate partner violence in the Black community. And if y'all push me, I'm going to drag the Black church in it. I might even drag the mosque in it. I might even drag these spiritual folk in it. Oh, yeah, it's enough to go around. And we need to deal with it. And so I want you to be a part of this conversation. All right. News and Talk Radio, 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community.
News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Get them back to the table.
Now back to Give It Some Thought with Dr. Harold V. Bennett.
This is the one they're talking about.
On News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
News and Talk Radio 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community. Yes, we're going to talk about intimate partner violence, domestic violence, and I want to raise your consciousness level. I want to raise your awareness of it. And I'm telling you, Dr. Bennett got some comrades, some colleagues. I prefer the term comrades today because we united in this struggle. We comrades. We're united in this struggle to talk about intimate partner violence. I have two wonderful human beings of God. I have Dr. Faye Weems Singleton. She told me to call her Dr. Faye. Say, how you doing, Faye?
Good evening.
Yeah. And listen, family, I got to tell you, she's a licensed marriage and family therapist here in Atlanta, and she's going to tell you a little more a little later about how to get in touch with her should you need her services or whatnot. So she's going to be with us today, and all the way from California. I say California, y'all. Mm-hmm. I have Dr. Rose Parker, the author of Beat Up, Beat Down, and Still Standing. Dr. Rose Parker, how are you?
I am blessed and highly favored, you know.
Oh, wow. I am telling you, I feel like I am the most blessed man in the world to have two powerful women of God standing with me and thinkers who are here to help me talk about this subject today that is such a very unfortunate part of our communities, this business of domestic violence. And I'm using the term domestic now because we're gonna unpack that. But I think what I want to do first of all, I want Dr. Parker, I want you to talk about yourself, and if there are some parts of your story that you're comfortable with sharing with our audience, I'd like for you to share them. If there are some parts you'd like to, if not, that's fine. But I'll introduce yourself and let them know if there's about your story and which parts of it you'd like to share.
Okay, well, thank you for inviting me. I feel honored to be amongst such great people that's changing the world and making a difference and talking about it and giving me this platform to share. Again, I like to be called Dr. Rose.
Okay.
And that's how that goes. But I went to prison back in 1986. I'm the daughter of a preacher, granddaughter, sister, aunt, uncle. Everybody in my family, is from the church. And I got involved, you want to stray out. You want to see what's out there. So after I, had a failed marriage, I got involved with a man that was, that was dangerous. But I didn't know all that. And as the violence progressed in that relationship, I got away. I would get away from him, but he would always, try to get me back out there because he lived, a distance from me. And so, excuse my voice, because I got to fight the devil. So y'all don't mind if y'all know when you're in warfare. So I'm gonna get whatever God has for me to share out. But I got away from him, and he would stalk me. He was very wealthy, so he would buy everybody to try to get information where I'm going, what I'm doing. And eventually he came to my house and held me hostage 4 days. On the fifth day, literally, because I always said four, but Sunday to Thursday, I think that's about five. He held me hostage. My brother came to rescue me on that fourth day. And when my brother burst into the room, he's like, what's happening? And he just hit him. When he hit him, I grabbed the gun, and I shot. And the bullet hit my brother, and it hit him, wounding my brother and killing him. Although I didn't know that he, had died because he ran. He ran, out and down the stairs because it was in my bedroom. And I always say, when people would talk about my case, I'm like, I was pregnant in my house. It happened in my room. My 19-month-old son was there. It's a crib and a bed in the room. But yet, I'm a murderer. Anyway, that was a sidebar. But anyway, so he I guess was pronounced dead on arrival. And they put me in, arrested me. I did say I did it. I shot him. Mm-hmm. I did, there was a show called, what's the name? It's a Tyler Perry show called, not The Have and Have Nots, but there's another show. And there's a lady in there that had killed the guy that was tormenting her. And she said, I shot him. And I felt that. Because I don't know why I said it like that, but, I told him I shot him, I thought, I still don't know to this day, but almost like a sense of relief, I don't know why I even went there, but it's very impacting for me.
Mm-hmm.
So and on this broadcast, I'm just going to be myself, So if y'all don't mind.
No, I want you to be yourself. That's fine.
So anyway, so I was arrested, pregnant. I was 4.5 months pregnant and went to prison. But going on a sidebar, I'm okay. I'm okay. But you know, every now and then, you know, when I tell my story, I tell it with all the feeling that goes with it. And I don't know if that's good or bad, but I, you know, that's where I'm at today. So, but I went to prison, and I'll just carry the story on. I went to prison, mm-hmm. and I believed the whole time that God was going to vindicate me. And so the whole time I was in prison, I was waiting to go home. So when people would send me stuff, you know, I would get so much stuff, and I would mail it home, you know, because I knew I was going home.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I would tell my kids and everybody, you know, I'll be there. You know, and time, you know, 1 year, 2 years, 5 years, 8 years, you know, 10 years, 12 years, I'm still believing and knowing. You couldn't tell me that I wasn't going home. I took parenting classes. You know, I had already took college classes and learned everything that they had in the prison. I was a choir director. I did everything that the prison basically had to offer. I took like 90% of everything. Mm-hmm. And so, yet still preparing to go home, you know, believing for that miracle.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to stay focused because I don't want to take it into the preach. We stand on the domestic violence side. So, but I kept telling them, I'm going to get a fax from the governor. And sure enough, a fax came, and, you know, the Lord opened the door, and I came home. You know, then eventually Governor Arnold Schwarzenegger gave me a pardon. But while I was incarcerated, you know, there was some support groups that they had. And the first one was in about 1990, 91, 92. The laws were changing for domestic violence. That's when they first came up with the term battered women syndrome, which is now called intimate partner battering, but it was initially called battered women syndrome. And so we had a support group called Convicted Women Against Abuse. And so I became a part of that organization. Excuse me. And in that group, you know, women would talk about their situations.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so strange because I heard a lady share her story, and I said, you know, Art, because the stories are similar. If there's a pattern, and that's when they had the wheel. You know, they talk about the domestic violence wheel where you got the honeymoon stage, and then the violence, like the honeymoon stage, and then you got to go to the tiptoe stage, you know, and then there's the outbreak of violence, then back to the honeymoon stage, then you're walking on eggshells, tension building, and then back to, and it's just a circle of violence is what it's called. It's not always exactly like that with everyone, because mm-hmm. I went through a different situation. I'll probably talk about that later. With a pastor. That's
All right. Dr. Rose, thank you. Hold on. Don't go anywhere. That music means that we're up against a hard break. When we come back on the other side, Dr. Faye is going to talk with us, and Dr. Rose is going to continue talking with us about this demon. I'm going to use that kind of language that's in our community. This horrible, this monster that's, it's a cancer that's eating away at us. It's got to be dealt with. It's called intimate partner violence. We're going to deal with it on the other side. News and Talk Radio 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community.
News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Sometimes there's more than one answer to a problem.
Now, what are you going to do about it?
We're exploring the possibilities.
Just follow my lead.
It's Give It Some Thought with Dr. Harold V. Bennett on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
March 1986,
A four-day cocaine binge triggered a violent argument between 26-year-old Roseanne Parker and her ex-boyfriend, 56-year-old Art Boga. By the time police arrived, Boga was found dead with a gunshot wound stuffed in a closet.
The evidence showed that it was willful and deliberate and premeditated.
If she did not kill that man, she would have been dead.
She chose to shoot a man and murder him.
Did Roseanne Parker kill in an act of self-defense, or was it cold-blooded murder?
News and Talk Radio 1380 WAOK. I am just so overwhelmed by the opportunity to have one of a survivor of intimate partner violence. Her story has been all over the television set. She's actually published, wrote the book. It's called Beat Up, Beat Down, and Still Standing, the Rose Parker Story. She's on the other end, all the way from California. And I have with me in the office, I'm going to say in my office, it is my office on Sunday evenings, I have Dr. Faye, I'm going to call her Dr. Faye, with me. And she is a licensed marriage and family therapist. And she is very much so interested in this cause. I mean, think about it. October is national, and it's called Domestic Violence Awareness Month. But Dr. Rose put another term in play, and she called it intimate partner violence, or something very similar to that. Dr. Rose, what did you call? You use the term intimate instead of domestic.
That's the new word for it. It's okay. Called intimate partner battering, because of the gender. You know, you got the, mm-hmm. you know, the homosexual fighting. You know, so they changed the term. Instead of battered women, it's you could be a battered man.
Right, I guess, right. No, no. I think you can be. I think. Well,
you can be. I talk about that usually. You know, these days, especially these days. But go ahead.
No, no. I think this is great, because when I heard you say that, and I heard Dr. Faye say that term, use that term also, it made me rethink just what was going on. And I appreciate your story so much. I have Dr. Faye with us, and I'm Dr. Faye. What do you think so far about this issue of intimate partner violence, about it being present in our community, and just what's your take on this?
Well, first of all, I would like to say to Dr. Rose, I am so grateful that you are with us, and I am so thankful that we have this opportunity to hear your story. As Dr. Bennett and I were talking earlier, we talked about how difficult it is sometimes to tell that story and the triggers that it evokes in us. So thank you for your story. Thank you for sharing with us. Domestic violence, as you've described it, it's a pattern of assaultive and coercive behavior. And I emphasize that word pattern, because it's a pattern of behavior that is inflicted upon intimate partners. And as a result, intimate partners is now the term that's used most often, because it indicates that intimate violence can occur between not only heterosexuals, but persons of same gender loving. It can occur also in family situations, between siblings, elderly abuse. They're all types of intimate partner violence, and so that is the term that's most used. Domestic intimate partner violence is much more common than people realize.
Mm-hmm.
One of the myths about intimate partner violence is that it is rare and it's uncommon, but one out of every three women will or have experienced some type of intimate partner abuse. And for African American women, although we represent only 15% of the population, at least 50% of African American women will experience intimate partner violence. So it is a very, very significant issue in our community as well as in society today.
Dr. Rosa, and I'm going to ask Dr. Faye this also, and we were talking about this earlier, and I was kind of still wrestling with this issue in my mind. And the issue is I don't know if I should say when you see, but are there any kind of, and Dr. Faye was talking about this, Dr. Rose, I want to hear your take on this too. Are there any kind of clues or indicators? I want you, could you talk about that? Are there any kind of clues that a woman or a man or somehow or another that there are some hints that this is a potential abuser?
They show a lot of signs. It starts out like if they called you and you didn't answer, and you know, where were you, you know, and in the beginning it'll be, oh, I was just concerned. Then they start getting mad, you know. When you see or they do a little stalking, you know, looking for you, or, you know, I had a situation where a young man called me and he was outside, you know, and I'm like, that's a warning sign. Nowadays, there's so many warning signs because they got cell phones. See, in my day, they didn't have cell phones. I'm like, Lord, if they would have had a cell phone and a beeper, I'd have been dead. Lord, thank you, Jesus. Because in my mind, he would have invented it. I didn't talk about the abuse, but go ahead. We'll stay right where you are.
No. Dr. Faye, you want to share?
No, I wanted her to continue.
Okay, go ahead, Dr. Rose.
Because I didn't say a lot about the abuse and the battering and stuff, you know, checking the mileage, you know, going to your job, you know, all these different little things that happened. You know, I was beat so much, my head was cracked open. You know, it was so many things that, and I never went back. You know, a lot of women, you know, they stay. I left. I'm at my house, starting my life over. I was raped and became pregnant, you know. So it was so much trauma, but for that situation, I was young. I didn't know. Now my goal is to make sure women know and recognize these signs. Just because he got money or want to take you somewhere or is nice, you know, and don't fall for all the stuff. You get a whole bunch of gifts because in a minute you start accepting all that stuff. Here comes. I get to tell you where to go, how long to stay. I get to tell you what to wear, you know, how to wear your hair, you know, and all that. You take you to get your nails done and all that stuff. Sometimes men will sit right in there while you do it, too. Go wherever you go, all kind of stuff, you know. So we have to really be careful these days. You know, I used to do a – am I going too fast?
No. Okay. No, keep on.
But can I ask you, Dr. Rose, if you could kind of highlight the grooming that takes place in the beginning that impacts your self-esteem such that you're not even aware of what's happening consciously?
Oh, you're so beautiful, and you're just, you know, you got all these accolades, and you can do no wrong. And then all of a sudden, you know, and the abuse is not just physical. It's the mental, the torment, the crazy making. You know, like you put your keys down, they hide your keys, and you looking for them, then they put them back. You know, there's all kind of stuff to make you seem like you crazy. You know, there's all kind of different things that's going on in this relationship that, you know, they show for you, they open the door for you. In the beginning, in the beginning, all this good stuff is going on, you know, and so.
And so as you mentioned that about going to the hair salon and all, it also made me think about the economic side of it in terms of holding money captive, giving allowances. Could you speak a little bit to that if you'd like?
Sure, let me do this. That music means we have a hard break. Dr. Faye, Dr. Rose, hang tight. on the other side of the break, we're going to come back to this grooming piece that we're talking about now. All right. News and Talk Radio, 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community.
Give it some thought. You might be surprised what you discover.
This is where it gets interesting.
Dr. Harold V. Bennett is back on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Please don't leave me. Please don't leave me. Oh, please don't leave me. Oh.
You want to leave me? Do you want to leave me?
Wow, that's a scene from Madea's family reunion, and we have a living example of an abuser and how an abuser seems to have no problems with demonstrating that treacherous type of behavior. On the other end of the call, calling all the way in from a beautiful, sunny, warm state of California, we have a survivor of this type of thing, and she has gone public, and she is doing such a wonderful work with helping our sisters overcome and work through these type of situations. Dr. Rose is with
yes.
us. She's the author of Beat Up, Beat Down, and Still Standing. I mean, she has a story to tell that is just absolutely phenomenal. I have Dr. Faye with me, and the two of them, Dr. Faye is a licensed marriage and family therapist, and the two of them were talking about certain types of behaviors that abusers engage in that groom and in many ways create an atmosphere where this type of thing is perhaps on the way. Here's what I want to do right now, Doctors Rose and Faye. I have a call. Let's take a caller who has a question about this type of behavior. Y'all ready to take a question?
Yes.
Let's go. Yessie, got you online. Yessie, how you doing?
Peace. Can you hear me, sir?
Yeah, we got you, man. You got me, you got Dr. Rose, and you have Dr. Faye. Go ahead. What's your question?
Rose and Dr. Faye, blessings to you.
Blessings
to you. It's an observation of the bigger dynamic of what we call abuse and what is abuse and what is confrontation, I guess, because in this dynamic, we have a third party, which is, in my assessment, the police. And that third party being, there being no intervention in what's happening in a community aspect. I look at this, you know, I've been on both sides of this coin. I know that Dr. Rose said that the abuse was mental and physical, and there was a lot of stuff going on. And that aspect of it, you know, before the strike, there was possibly abuse on both sides, especially in the society makeup that we're dealing in America. You know, there's a different structure in Africa, for instance. Women have a different cultural way of handling their position in that particular society. Yet here, ours has been attacked at the root level, you know, all the way to the education of all of us, not just our children. It's all of us constantly being educated by the system. And it wants to keep us in prison. It builds prisons to put us in prison, but it doesn't do the same for other people.
Let me respond. Yes, I really want to say this because first of all, I want to thank you for your comment. I appreciate you calling in, but I'm very disturbed, and I'm gonna tell you why I'm disturbed. It's like I'm hearing, in many ways, if not a minimization or of abuse, or in some kind of way an attempt to justify, you know, certain men.
I would say this.
And because you were talking about in certain cultures how it's different and how we've been educated a certain way, as though certain the fact that you can strike another person, and in this case striking a woman, that's just no way to justify that. That's categorically wrong. There's no way out of that.
Let's get back to the mental abuse in the structure you're talking about. You're talking about people that are intimate. And you're, as a man,
right.
I'm a fairly faithful man.
Right.
And my giving you intimacy is greatly valuable to me. And I'm going to be emotional. In the scriptures, it literally says, women speak to men kind of gingerly. Don't just go running off at the mouth at men.
Now I'm going to tell you, buddy, I got to be honest with you. Man, you're about to get me a little hot here, because I'm going to tell you why. But I'm going to tell you why I'm saying this. I have very little tolerance for any type of religious, any type of religious beliefs that even attempt to legitimize, you know, abusing somebody. No. And so I want to hear what you have to say, because it seems like I'm going to be bothered by what you say. Now, go and finish, man.
No, it is bothersome, because something takes place before the strike.
Okay.
Lots of things take place before the strike.
Mm-hmm.
Can I interrupt?
Yes, Dr. Rose, please,
can
please.
I interrupt?
Sure, please.
You know, I watch a television show occasionally that shows women flipping off at the mouth, throwing stuff, bucking up to the man, putting them down and doing stuff like that. You know, when you're dealing with a woman like that, you need to get away from her. You shouldn't be around a woman that would try to put you in any type of way. You know, I don't
disagree with you, doctor.
So I just wanted to make that little statement right there. But when you have a person that just downright wanna be abusive, wanna be controlling,
that's hard to understand. I apologize, because I understand where you're coming from, Dr. Bennett.
Yes, sir.
It's frustrating to say, oh, you'd hit a woman? I'm like, no, I have hit a woman. I've been hit by a woman. I've had guns pulled on me by a woman when I was doing nothing wrong, zero. But she was doing something wrong, so I could have called the police. It was abuse. It was this and that. Yet, for the sake of my whole family, it didn't make sense. Now, she could have killed me, but it didn't make sense that she was doing it, but it made sense that she didn't want to be bothered with me.
Okay.
That's what made sense to me.
All right.
So
Dr.
can
Fabius.
I?
This abuse part, I'm lost when it becomes, a fight is a fight. If you have a fight, it is abuse, but you break if you have a fight. And if you don't, it was something that the woman may have had something to do with.
So can I interject?
I'm lost in that aspect of hearing about these battered women all the time, and knowing I've come across most of these women, and the way they act is like they want to fight most of the time.
So let me interject. I just want to share with you, I hear you and I hear your concern, but one out of every three women are victims of abuse. But we also know that one out of four men are victims of abuse.
Okay.
But in every minute that transpires, 20 women are being abused. So it is not one of the biggest myths about intimate partner violence is that it is uncommon, it's rare, and then secondly, that it is the person who is being victimized, it is their fault. We do have a choice of how to respond. Surprisingly for some, we have a choice of how to respond to anger. No one makes us angry. We choose how we respond.
Okay, listen. I tell you what I'm going to do. Sean, can I hold Yessie over? Yes, sir. I want to hold you over after the break. We got a great. No, I'm going to hold you over. Thank you so much. I'm going to hold you over. Hey, y'all hearing it. It's going down. We have four of us will have in this conversation right now. Dr. Rose is on the other end of the line from California. I got Dr. Faye here with me. I got Yessie on the line, and you are part of the conversation too. Don't go anywhere. Tell somebody. You got to hear this. You got to hear what's coming up. News and Talk Radio 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community.
Things are not always what they seem.
And what's that supposed to mean?
Sometimes you have to read between the lines to figure out what's really going on.
It's tough to get any more obvious than that.
Get ready to discuss provocative issues in our community, like spirituality, philosophy, and education, to ethics, crime, and everything in between.
So far, so good.
It's time to open your mind and look at life on a deeper level. Give it some thought and get to the gist of the matter with Dr. Harold V. Bennett.
What's about to be said right here, you need to listen with both ears.
On News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Call us at 404-892-2703. On News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
A brother, call a girl up. You're a trying to make a sister feel low. You know all of that got to go. Now everybody knows there's exceptions to this rule. I don't be getting mad when we playing, it's cool. But don't you be calling me out my name. I bring crap to those who disrespect me like a dame. That's why I'm talking. One day I was walking down a block. I had my cutoff shorts on, right? Cause it was crazy. I walk past these dudes when they pass me.
One of News and Talk Radio 1380. WAOK, the voice of the community. You're listening to Give It Some Thought with Dr. Harold Bennett. And I have Dr. Rose Parker. She calls herself Dr. Rose, and I call her Dr. Rose, and the community calls her Dr. Rose, one of the sheroes of the black community who uses her experience on her platform, her different platforms to educate and motivate and speak out against intimate partner violence, one of our sheroes. And I have Dr. Faye in the office with me, who I keep saying office, y'all. Somebody need to say, Bennett, you're in the studio. I guess this is my Sunday evening office. I hadn't got a chance to really delve into some Hebrew Bible exegesis and some ethical kind of conversations. And
we
might go in that direction because, he's setting us up and inviting us to have this conversation. And Yessie is with us. I'm going to go back. Dr. Faye had a comment she wanted to make, and Dr. Rose, I'm certain, may want to add something to Yessie's concerns about the whole idea of this syndrome that's present. All right, we're going to go back. We got Yessie on line two. Yessie, you there?
Listen.
Okay, good. We got you, man. I got Dr. Faye wants to talk to you, and Dr. Faye, you on?
I just wanted to ask a question. Given your comments, I wanted to know, what is it that you're asking for?
Our community back.
And can you help me with what you mean by that?
Yes, absolutely. We're in a situation socially that has ills that go with it. And whether you're going to get biblical with it or whether you want to simply observe how our power structure within our neighborhoods is set up and the dynamic of what we are as a people in this place. We're not talking about violently harming each other. We're talking about the habits we get socially. Women may or may not have been with several men before they claim they're serious with a man, causing them a major problem in some instances because which man are they serious with and is he really serious? Now we have a habit of what is called promiscuity, and there's another word for it, but I'll use promiscuity. Yet we act like that's not akin to the other ills that take place because in that social habitry, men are hurt. They're hurt again. They're hurt again. Women are hurt. They're hurt again. They're deceived again. And mm-hmm. you put yourself in a unprotected cycle because we don't have a community that says, that's my daughter right there. Who saw my daughter where? Okay.
So let me. I don't want to interrupt, but I just wanted
to
bracket this and help share some information with you. I did not frame the perspective or the lens in which I view the world, so I will give you my social location, which is that I am a Christian, African-American, and womanist. So that is the way in which I view the world. And so what I'm getting ready to share with you has a lot to do with the lens in which lots of persons who have researched this area who happen to be Christian womanists have found. And that is that one of the issues facing the African-American community has to do with the patriarchal issues that we face as a result of slavery. And I felt like you were kind of going in that direction, but what happened is there are significant controlling images that impact the African-American female that are a result of slavery. Dr. Joy DeGruy, who wrote the book Post-Traumatic Slave Syndrome, helps us to understand that there are some scientific things that are happening inside of our body. They call it epigenetics, and that is the way that experiences and trauma are marked on our DNA, and it's transmitted intergenerationally. And what has happened is that many in our community have internalized the stereotypes that have come as a result of slavery. And four of those basic controlling images are that African-American women are, one, mammies, that they only know how to nurture and take care of others, that that's what they're good for, or that they are matriarchs, and we don't use that term as a term of endearment because research conducted back in 1965 by Daniel P. Moynihan established that the problem for the African-American community were African-American females headed by single households who were emasculating men. Now, I hear that you're saying some things with regard to emasculation. However, this was a white man who set this kind of research in motion, and that's the type of research that has been conducted on and about us by white persons. But that third controlling image is a Jezebel, that African-American women are loose because of what they wear, what they do, how they're shaped. Those controlling images are in the media. They're everywhere. And then lastly, that we're all welfare mothers, that we don't want to work for anything. We just want to have babies and collect money. And so I think we have to be careful that we don't internalize the master's theories about us. We have to be very, very careful about that.
Doctor?
Yes, sir?
If I may? Statistically, from people who are trying to control our mental, I can't find any value in that. What I can say to you is this. I know how men feel about their mothers, and I know generally how mothers treat their boys, generally of our people, because that's where I grew up in. And that dynamic is tainted with more masculine vibe in the women, and it has led to a great deal of homosexuality on both sides of the coin, male and female. Yet the dynamic that we're addressing is still our lack of a community that addresses from us, not from a survey and not from a project. Our dynamic now, intellectually, we're getting back to our mental. I understand completely the value of woman. Now, we say black woman because black woman comes first with me. Yet, woman herself, that dynamic in the proper environment. We look over the environment that we're in as we address these issues, and we don't stop. We might march to the capital of the people who are managing, and when I say managing, they are maintaining economic, social, geographic, political jurisdictions to maintain these illnesses. Would you agree with me on that?
I do believe our context influences our behavior, and I believe that what is needed is a behavioral change, because a behavioral change is going to make the difference in how we internalize different factors in our lives.
Yessie, listen, my friend, thank you so much for your call. Got to go to a break. Hey, man, love the call. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being interactive with us. Appreciate you. Hey, y'all. Hey, got to go to a break. News and Talk Radio 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community.
News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Get them back to the table.
Now back to Give It Some Thought with Dr. Harold V. Bennett.
This is the one they're talking about.
On News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
Rose maintains Art used more than drugs to keep her under his control.
I watched him hurt people. You know, I watched him beat up people, pistol whip them with guns.
He would threaten Roseanne all the time. He had a big scar on his stomach where he had been shot when he was a young man, and he would tell Roseanne that he had gone out and cut the guy's head off that shot him. And so anybody that crossed him, he was going to kill.
He shows me a jar of ears. They have ears in it, some solution. And this shows me this is what he does to people. But I'm in this lifestyle, I'm in this situation, I don't know how to get out of. I don't know how to get away from this person that tells me I can find you no matter where you are.
In December 1985, Rose attempted to leave Boga again. She moved back home, quit using drugs, and reconnected with the church. But Art was never too far away.
News and Talk Radio 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community. You're listening to Give It Some Thought with Dr. Bennett. And we're right at the beginning of Intimate Partner Violence Awareness Month. That's what October is all about. And WAOK is just, you know, we're putting out some really good, what I think, some really good information and some possible solutions to some tragic problems in our community. I have two people here in the studio with me, Dr. Rose Parker, and her story is all over. It's been on TV. She has a book, Beat Up, Beat Down, and Still Standing, and she has really made some major strides in helping our sisters deal with this syndrome, this whole experience of being abused. I have Dr. Faye with me, who is a licensed marriage and family therapist, and we're dealing with some very serious issues. This is what I want to do. Dr. Rose, I'd like to know, what are your comments about or your response to some of the things that were said by a previous caller?
I think when you that there was a relationship gone wrong, and every now and then you'll have a female damage the relationship, you know, unrepairably. I also think that I believe that the gentleman that called in, you know, with his concerns about the community, should really use that energy to start a program or get with someone that's already in place, you know, because that's a whole nother whole nother issue. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's part of it that, like, you can relate everything to domestic violence. You can, you know, somebody lost their job and they was not acting, doing their job right, but you don't know that they getting beat up at home. So it's related. The subject is related, but it's its own thing and can be built up, and he could, you know, make an impact on the community if he used that drive and passion. He could make a change in the community and in our world.
Wow.
Thank you, Dr. Rhodes, for that. I really appreciate you offering that. I'd also like to add that it would be helpful for the previous caller and those who may have some frustration with understanding anything about intimate partner violence to look at the statistics. But I would push to go a little further, and that is to really start to be more observant. It's very difficult to know what's going on in relationships and know what's going on. But I think if we're more observant in terms of patterns of behavior, in terms of persons who are being isolated, persons who seem to be hypersensitive in terms of touch, noise, all kinds of experiences, I think that we will begin to see that it is much more prevalent. Intimate partner violence is much more prevalent than we realize. But I think that's one of the things that we have to do. It's a reckoning, a recognizing that it really is prevalent in our communities, and it's not about shaming and blaming the person who has been abused. But I also want to add that we must understand that intimate partner violence is about control and power.
Wow. I want to go to the lines. We have several callers. 4489-22703. I'm going to Beverly. Beverly, hello. Beverly, are you there?
I am.
Good. I can hear you now. I couldn't hear you at first. I thought I had a bad connection. How you doing?
I'm good. And yourself?
Good, good. Are you a first-time caller?
I am.
Hold on. Don't move. I got something for you. What we got, Sean? There you go.
Thank you.
Yeah, I want to. There you go. There you go. There you go, Beverly.
Call us at 404-892-2703.
There you go, Beverly. Thank you so much for calling us. Yes, what's going on? What's on your mind?
You know what? I just wanted to give some information on domestic violence. The young man that called in earlier, I don't know whether he was involved in a domestic violence act or he was the aggressor himself. I'm just not sure. But as for me, and the reason I am calling, because I was listening to the broadcast, and what I did want young women to realize, 50% of women were killed with guns. 65% of wife or intimate partners of their 65%, and black women were more likely, two times likely, to be murdered by men than white women.
Wow.
I am a survivor of domestic violence, mm-hmm. so I understand it clearly. I was reporting to a job 5 days a week in law enforcement. Mm-hmm. So the same women I was bringing in mm-hmm. had the same story of domestic violence, unbeknownst to them. Mm-hmm. I was that same victim. I could have ended up in prison just like Dr. Rose Parker. Mm-hmm. And one thing about domestic violence, men, they begin to mold you. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have enough self-esteem to say, I can make it without you, you're subject to stay. People ask me all the time, well, why did you stay? Mm-hmm. I didn't have an answer for that because I didn't know any better. It was deemed from strict insecurities. And then sometimes when you're young, you think it's cute when somebody's, oh, they're so jealous. And then those pushes begin shoves, and those shoves begin slaps, and those slaps begin stomps. Mm-hmm. And those stomps are like, next time I'm going to pull a gun on you. Because mine was like, you leave me, I'm going to kill you, and I'm going to kill the kids too. Mm-hmm. But remember, I'm going to work every day, working in a prison, seeing young women coming in with a case of domestic violence, doing like Dr. Rose Parker. What Dr. Rose Parker failed to tell you When she was convicted in San Bernardino County, she was looking at 27 years with an ill. Every day, she continued to say, I'm packing my stuff. This prison isn't for me. I'm not going to be here. I'm going home. She trusts that she was going to be released. Another caveat in regards to the Rose Parker story. Rose Parker, she was pregnant when she went to San Bernardino Detention Center. She's pregnant. They arrested her for murder. But they also let her out on an OR to have her baby. And she had the integrity enough when the judge said, I'm going to release you, but you have to come back. After she had that baby, and that baby was 6 weeks out, she turned herself back into San Bernardino County Jail, looking at 27 years with an L. Have I read her book? Yes. Does that book apply to me? Absolutely. And what domestic violence men do, and I could only speak on men because it happened to me, they begin to separate you from your family, your children, your mothers, your friends, because they want to have control over every aspect of your life. When you're young, you think it's cute. But then as you get older and you try to get away, and someone tells you, you can leave if you want to, but I'm going to take your life and I'm going to take the kids and then I'm going to take mine. Do you have a second thought about it? Of course you do, because I did. So I found myself driving around in the middle of the night looking for shelter. Wow. For me and my babies. I found myself going AWOL from a job that I had had for 10 years. Wow. Because he was showing up at my job. Did he get me? Yeah, he broke my ribs. He broke my nose. Mm. I had to hide. I went into a shelter called the House of Ruth. And going there, I had to get sustenance. I had to get a backbone, even though I didn't know what that meant. Here I am with three children, going into a shelter, not knowing where I'm going. I'm just in a car driving. They picked me up at the police station, and I went in hiding. It was the best thing that ever happened to my life.
Beverly Litney, may I hold you over? That music means I'm up against a heartbreak. I want to hold you over. Because when we come back, I want to continue hearing those parts of your story that you're okay with telling. Please hold on. I'm gonna hold you over. Hold on. Just breathe. News and Talk Radio 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community.
News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Sometimes there's more than one answer to a problem.
Now what are you going to do about it?
We're exploring the possibilities.
Just follow my lead.
It's Give It Some Thought with Dr. Harold V. Bennett on News and Talk 1380 WAOK. Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
News and Talk Radio 1380 WAOK. This is the voice of the community. Hey, you're listening to Give It Some Thought with Dr. Harold Bennett, and we're discussing intimate partner violence today with Dr. Rose, a.k.a. Dr. Rose Parker, the author of Beat Up, Beat Down, and Still Standing. I tell you, what a woman of God, a model for ministry. I think that needs to be copied. I would use that term. I have Dr. Faye here in the office. Oh, there I go again. Here in the studio. okay. Let me, in the studio with me. I'm just so used to, you know, this is my office. Okay. I'm cool with it. My studio office. Thank you, Dr. Faye. I have Beverly who's calling in from California, and I want her to finish her story, and I'm going to have Dr. Rose and Dr. Faye respond, and then we're going to take some more calls. Beverly, are you still there?
I am.
Hey, go on and finish. Thank you so much for your patience.
And one thing that I want young girls and women to be aware of. You have an advocate now. Mm-hmm. In the 70s, 80s, the police would show up at your house. And if it was a domestic violence issue, they just looked at it, oh, that's just a husband hitting his wife. Mm-hmm. And they would go on about their business. I was held hostage for 9 days. The sheriffs came to my house. They came to my house only because of what I did for a living, not because of concerns for my health. They came to my house only for what I did for a living. He was on the other side of the door and said, I wish you would say something. So what I had to do is shut my mouth until I would, told the police, oh, it's fine, beat up, beat down, but I was still standing behind that door and had enough sense not to open my mouth. So here's my babies, and I'm telling the police, no, oh, no, it's okay. Ma'am, are you sure you're okay? They never tried to force their way in. They never tried to pull me out. They never asked, was my kids okay, nor who was behind the door, because he only allowed me to crack the door and speak through the door, and that's what I did. So in the 70s and the 80s, we had no advocates, even though they claimed domestic violence. A bill came in 1920 to protect us from domestic violence. That may be so. But in 1970 and 1980, oh, yes, it still existed. And women were coming through the doors of the prison as if it was an open door policy, doing life with no possibility. And I was one of those. Dr. Rose Parker was one of those. Except for I worked on the other side. I was going home every night. And inmates, they're real keen on something going on. I remember going to work one morning. He hit me and he broke my nose. Mm. I had to call and go to the hospital and find out my nose was broken. When I came to work, I was wearing shades. Mm. And one of the inmates, she was looking. She said, don't do that. She said, you don't want to come here where I am. She came back from culinary, and she bought me some potatoes. She said, put these on your eyes, but this isn't a place that you want to be. Had I contemplated? Yes. That's how come I tell everyone, anybody can go to prison if you're pushed enough, but I thank God for grace because there was a ram in the bush, and it was her. When she brought me potatoes, and she said, don't do that. You don't want to end up where I am. And I had everything to lose, and my biggest loss would have been my babies. Mm. So domestic violence, it's still happening, and it's still happening in numbers. Mm. Black women are 2 times more likely to be murdered than their white counterparts. Mm-hmm. So that tells me, what do we do now? What do we say now? How can we say it? Because if they get, especially in places like Las Vegas, domestic violence is a huge epidemic in Las Vegas, Nevada.
Wow.
It's a huge epidemic. And one say, well, what do we do? Where do we go? I have 2 daughters and 3 granddaughters. Have I told them about my story? Of course. Could it have been me? Of course, anybody can go to prison. It doesn't mean they're less than, except for the laws then were so different. They didn't look at anything else. They didn't look at a Rose Parker. She got beat up. They didn't look at Rose Parker that she got beat down. They didn't look at Rose Parker that this man got her addicted to drugs. They didn't look at that. They just looked at the fact that she shot somebody, she killed them, and she said she did it. And wow. They were giving her 25 with an L.
Well,
she
Beverly,
was 15, and she was released.
Well, Beverly, thank you. You have really, really shared with us, and I appreciate your comments. And clearly the book, Beat Up, Beat Down, and Still Standing, the Rose Parker story, is worth a serious read. Beverly, thank
Absolutely.
You so much for calling. I want you to continue to listen. And hey, like WAOK, the voice of the community, like us on Facebook, and please like the gist. Send out a group request, join the group for the Gist of the Matter with Dr. Bennett. I want to hear from you more frequently, okay?
Absolutely.
Thank you. All right.
Thank you.
404-892-2703. Let me go to Taylor from Alabama. Hello, Taylor.
Thank you so much, Bennett. And I wanted to say this, you know, when I lived in Atlanta,
I formed a support group called Males Verbally Abused by Females. I'm the youngest son of the four girls, and I think I've said this before. I learned how to talk by listening to the way my mother talked, and the sisters were listening to the way my mother talked to men. They learned how to deceive and use different tones, intonations, and all of this, I learned that. So what I'm simply saying is this. So y'all won't give me the time to explain this on the radio, but brothers need to hear this. They've been ridiculed. I was affected in the first grade and grew up dealing with being emasculated, not even knowing how to put it into words. It took me from 1961 to 1992 to work my way through having been verbally abused in 1961. And a lot of men out there today, they are suffering and they can't even put into words. And do you know, what is his name, Danny Horn, chaplain of the Phillips prison? Danny is using some of my research about males verbally abused by females, and he's helping the men to put it, it's helping the men to see on the paper and put in to explain to the chaplains and whatever what they are not able to put into words. And this is why I am having the women in my family arrested. This is why I ran for the presidency of the National Council of Negro Women in Atlanta in 1992. And changed my name, and I talked to Dr. Dorothy Height about this, because I said, I'm not going to be no slave, to which I've already been a slave when my father died in 1977. I saw how he took my father's life, worked himself to death, trying to please them, but it's not one-sided. And older women, Dr. Bennett, older women will tell you that it ain't one-sided. But
and
when you go,
thank you so much for what you're saying. Because if you were listening earlier, I did report that not only one out of three women would be abused, but one out of four men. So we are not even we would never purport that domestic intimate partner violence is okay from either partner.
And Bennett, may I give this lady my number and have her to call me?
What you can do, what Sean will take your number. Just hold on after we right over this break. Sean will get it right now.
Okay, and I don't mind them calling me, because this thing need to be talked out. People are hurting. These guys are hurting and in pain. You know, it's really sad. All these years that I went through this from 1961 to 1992 and didn't even realize how to recognize what I was affected by.
Okay, hold tight. We'll get your number. All right. Hey. 448-922703 is the number. News and Talk Radio 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community.
Call us at 404-892-2703 on News and Talk 1380 WAOK.
But I'm stronger. You thought that I'd be broke without you, but I'm richer. You thought that I'd be sad without you. I left harder.
Rose took advantage of every opportunity to make the most of her new family.
You thought that I'd be helpless without you, but I'm smarter. You thought that I'd be stressed without you, but I'm chilling. You thought I wouldn't sell without you, so not millions.
Rose took advantage of every opportunity to make the most of her newfound freedom.
I received my doctorate in Christian counseling and Christian education. I married in 2003 to a minister. We have a church.
Some of us are in the land of famine. Some of us are in a place where we have to go through. We have to go through the process. And I'm talking to everybody in the house. I'm talking to everybody in the house. We all have dark times.
One thing about my mom's mindset is she was still able to adapt because she's a resourceful woman. You know what I mean? And she has instinct and she's strong and she's charismatic and enthusiastic about everything she's done and is doing. So my mom is on a quest.
I did a lot of things when I was incarcerated to prepare for what I'm doing now. I have my own organization called Saving Our Women International and Outreach.
As a prosecutor, I was very pleased to see that Ms. Parker has turned her life around, has put the past behind her, and is doing positive, productive things in the community.
Oh, boy. News and Talk Radio 1380 WAOK, the voice of the community. I'm just sitting here just amazed and just wow, looking at the positive contribution that our sister, Dr. Rose, is making to the community in light of what she has experienced, and seeing the thing about Dr. Faye and how she has brought so much to this conversation. Here's what I want to do. I have two callers. I'm going to take these callers. Dr. Rose, I want you to make sure you get your final thoughts together, because I want you to tell people about what, again, how to get in touch with you, about this project you have about helping our sisters get themselves together, about saving our sisters, saving our women. I think that's what the name of your wonderful work is, and those types of things. And Dr. Faye, I want you to make sure we know how we can get in touch with you, too. So I'm going to go to the lines. Todd. Hello, Todd.
Hey, Dr. Harold Benny, you hear me okay?
Man, I can hear you. How you doing?
Okay. Dr. Rose and Dr. Faye, I do not feel that this conversation has contributed enough to preventive methods in medicine to avoiding ever being in a relationship like this. But prior to me, before I address that more directly, Dr. Faye, could you tell me, how do you draw your conclusion? What source are you pulling on where you draw a conclusion that one out of three women is abused?
I'm drawing that information from the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence.
And how did they draw their conclusion? Because one out of three is a drastic exaggeration of the facts, but I wanted to know where are they pulling that idea from?
But Todd, let me ask you this. What's the counter argument? What's the pushback? I mean, what facts do you have to counter that?
Well, I could say, well, I am going to say.
No, don't tell me. What are the facts? Tell me.
An assessment of 20-plus African-American million women in the country, nor have they made an assessment of hundreds of women.
But for you to discredit that report, I'd like to know what facts, what data, what empirical evidence you're using to say
me to prove a negative.
No. You say that I'm asking you for something positive. You're saying that number is an overstatement. But I'm asking you to tell me what would give me something that reflects.
Positive too.
Okay, then you tell me what are your statistics. Tell me your statistics that says that number is less than 60, one in three, less than 30%.
What I am asking for is something to verify that number is true, other than it just came from a source.
But Todd, what makes you think it's wrong? Tell me what makes you think it's wrong.
I don't want to go to that.
No. Tell me, I want you to tell me what makes you think it's wrong, other than you got a feeling in your stomach.
No, I ain't no feeling in my stomach. I know how stats can be manipulated in a way to make
Todd,
it appear to
Todd,
be true.
You ain't got no facts, baby.
Can
you ain't got no facts.
Preventing the domestic violence.
Todd, you ain't got no facts.
Are
now
you open to talking about the methods to prevent
I'm interested
violence?
In you. I'm concerned about you saying that a figure or a statistic is wrong, and that number is less than that. And I asked you based on what, and you say I don't know.
No, I didn't tell you I don't know.
Well, what is it then?
I'm not going to prove a negative, but I do.
No. You can prove. That's not a negative thing for you to say.
Let me ask
it?
Ask you a quick question, Harold. If I wanted to tell you about a beatdown story, would you want to listen to that instead of hearing about how to prevent domestic violence? Because you've heard a lot of beatdown stories.
Well, I'll tell you what you're going to do. What you're going to hear in a few minutes is something that's going to help our community get a little bit better. And I want you to listen, Todd,
about how you prevent domestic violence.
Go ahead. You got 30 seconds because I got another call I want to get to. Go ahead, my friend.
We should have a conversation about what it takes to build nurturing, healthy, strong friendships and platonic relationships. And I'm only referencing heterosexual because that's what I know most about. How to build healthy, strong, platonic friendships between males and females early on in life in their teen years, which is not just simply based on entertainment. These relationships should be built on projects on problem solving and volunteerism and things such as that. And we should talk about what it takes to maintain in relationships and how they should be maintained so that when you do get into your more sexual and romantic relationships later on in life, you'll have something as a buffer and as a guideline on generally how you want things to go. Women and men that have healthy platonic relationships prior to the romantic relationships almost never get in domestic violence relationships. And women and men who maintain healthy, strong friendships with prior sexual partners, even though the sexual partner relationship is over, they almost never get in domestic violence relationships as well, because there's certain things that they're just not going to tolerate, and there's certain things that have to be allowed to carry over into the relationship, and then that makes it difficult for them to be able to deal with people that are going to beat them because they just don't, they're just not into it. And we should spend more time talking about that than these beat down stories and these exaggerated statistics.
So can I just offer that I think what is very important and very helpful is that we understand the narratives, the stories of every individual, whether male or female, who has been abused is a very sacred story. It is their own personal story, and it's important for us not to diminish anyone's story, regardless of our experiences. I do want to say that some of the suggestions that you've offered are very helpful. I just would hope that we would not overgeneralize and limit those suggestions, because we do have to deal with the actual core beliefs of an individual, and some of our theological core beliefs definitely impact how we go about engaging in relationships, how we maintain those relationships, how we seek out those relationships, and how we deal with conflict and conflict resolution. So thank you very much for what you offered.
All right, Todd, thank you so much. I'm going to go to Jihad. Go ahead, Jihad. You're on. Go ahead, Jihad.
Hey, Dr. Bennett.
Hey, man.
One is too many.
I agree.
One is too many. You know what I mean? And for someone to call and say that we are over-exaggerating, if that one was his mother or his sister or his daughter, he wouldn't think it was too many. And that's all I wanted to add.
Thank you, Jihad. I appreciate
one,
that.
Thank you, man. Sir.
All right. Thank you. My last caller, Will, you got 30 seconds, man. Go ahead.
Dr. Bennett, if we just crucify the flesh and abstain from sex until the Spirit leads us to holy matrimony, the problem goes away, because then the both partners, having repented any afflictions that were visited on them, are living clean and just for God in union together. Okay. And building a good future with the miracles that God blesses them with.
All right. All right, Will. Got to go. Listen, I want to let Dr. Rose, I want you to take these few minutes and tell us about how to get in touch with you, about your book, about your organization, so that people can know how to reach out to you and get in touch with you to help with this issue.
Well, they can go to my website, roseparker.com, or savingallwomen.org, and they can contact me through that. Means, and it's Dr. Rose Parker at AOL.com is my email address. And this topic tonight was on domestic violence, and that's what we're to talk about. If we're going to talk about building lives after domestic violence, then that's what we'll talk about. But this topic tonight was about domestic violence, and I thank all the callers for sharing, because we don't want to diminish anyone's words. And I just thank you for having me, and that's all I have to say.
Thank you. Dr. Fay, tell us about yourself, how we can reach out to you, and how the community can get in touch with you if they need to.
I am located at the Research Institute for Counseling and Education. That's at 3000 Langford Road Northwest in Norcross, Georgia. You can reach me at 850-960-8301, and I look forward to hearing from you.
All right, the number is 1-800-799-7233. That's the national the national domestic violence hotline. Call that number if you feel yourself in trouble. All right, Gene Ross, the boss, love you. Sean, love you. Dr. Faye, love you. Dr. Rose, love you. My community, love you. Until next time, to be continued. Peace.